It is the new Thanksgiving Eve tradition. It is the sound-off AEW Dynamite review on Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, November 25th, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster. This is the second year in a row that we are doing a Dynamite review here on the eve of Turkey Day. And I hope everybody is getting ready for Thanksgiving, whether you're doing it by yourself. Not as fun to do it by yourself, although it can be. But wherever you may be, hopefully you are all getting ready for the holiday, getting ready to stuff your face. And also, one thing I want to make sure I mention before we get going here, but we are in the middle of a Pro Wrestling Tees Black Friday week sale. It is underway. And so if you would like to get 20% off the new 13-year anniversary shirt or any shirt in the Sound Off store, that would be awesome. There's the address on the bottom of your screen right there, prowrestlingtees.com/Solemonster Sounds Off. You know, they call it a Black Friday sale, but it goes all the way through Monday, midday, on Monday of next week. If you guys would like to get in on the sale, that is the place to go. I thought tonight's episode, which was taped last week, it was a pre-taped episode of Dynamite, thought it was very good. I enjoyed it. And one of the reasons I enjoyed the show tonight was some of the acts that it highlighted. In the main event, for example, we had The Butcher and The Blade. You guys know I'm a fan of The Butcher and The Blade, but The Butcher and The Blade never win. Well, tonight, not only were they in the main event, they came out the winners in the main event, which I think probably shocked a lot of people. Shocked me. We got Lance Archer finally having a purpose on this show. We had other people featured, Top Flight, another very impressive match here, only their second time on Dynamite, still very young. We got to see them in action again, fun tag team match there. Ricky Starks cutting promos, doing what he does best, Taz doing what he, you know, the promo work I thought on this show between Taz, Starks, Moxley, as they prepare for the world title match next week, the big winter is coming episode of Dynamite. So I thought all around the work on this show was pretty top notch. I actually thought the Jericho match was probably the most boring thing on the entire show. And even that match, there was nothing wrong with it, but it didn't really stand out. And also, another favorite of mine who we got to see tonight, Abaddon, who I'm very happy is was not seriously injured. Remember when she got busted up in that match a few weeks ago? They didn't air it on TV. We haven't really seen her since on Dynamite. Glad to see her back, and it looks like she may be gunning for Sheeta. So I like what they set up going forward, and I like the fact that they featured a lot of people that I happen to like. So I give this episode a thumbs up. I was pretty happy by the time the show was over here tonight. We had Kenny Omega. I want to just mention this. On the stream last week, when I was taking calls and I was taking comments, somebody mentioned the fact that Omega had an injury and that he was wrestling with an injury. And I hadn't, you know, at that point, I hadn't heard anything about an injury. Apparently, the injury is a torn labrum, and that's a pretty serious injury. I mean, that's an injury that normally would require surgery, would keep you out for, you know, any number of months. So he's been dealing with this now for a little while. And he is going to continue working on it. He's having, you know, therapy and rehab, and he's got his trainers trying to keep him in top-notch shape. Now, it's a dangerous injury to play with, and it's a tough spot for them to be in because you have this guy who's challenging for the world championship in a week. Not only is he challenging for the championship, I think there's a pretty damn good chance he's going to walk out with the championship. He's got a torn labrum. You know, you better hope that thing can heal up on its own, because if not, it's going to take him right out of the game. So that's the update on Kenny Omega. It is a torn labrum that he is wrestling with. He's going to try to avoid surgery and try to heal it naturally while still working, which is what makes it so dangerous. It's not like he's going to be sitting at home for a few weeks, taking a load off. He's got a pretty big match coming up next week. Hopefully he'll be able to gut through it. We had Hangman Page opening the show tonight, taking on John Silver of the Dark Order. This is Hangman's first match since Full Gear. John Silver countered the Buckshot Lariat into a Hurricanrana, hit a brainbuster for a near fall. Page made a comeback, hit a Liger bomb for a near fall, and finally nailed the buckshot lariat for the three. John Silver is really good. John Silver is a lot of fun to watch. You know, he could be a ball of energy and a ball of fire. He can go on a tear, but he could also bump because he's such a small guy. You know, you can backdrop him 20 feet into the air. He can bounce around like a rubber ball. So he's a lot of fun to watch. But the right guy won here. Hangman Page should not be coming off of his loss to Kenny and losing to John Silver. So Omega gets the, Hangman gets the win. But it was a fun match. And when the match was over, the other members of the Dark Order came out to the ring, led by Evil Uno. And Evil Uno got on the mic, and he was talking about he's not there to jump Hangman, right? They've had their issues before. We're not here to attack you. We're not here to jump you. Says, you were one... At one point, you were part of one of the most popular groups of all time. And I groaned. He's talking about the Elite. Look, talk to me in 10 years or 20 years, and we'll see where the Elite stacks up. I think it's a little presumptuous to say, I mean, I guess in the realm of AEW, they're a big deal, but to say that the Elite is one of the greatest groups of all time, yeah, I don't think so. I'm not on board with that. But he wanted to make it very clear to Hangman that, look, we're here for you. We are here for you. He basically, without asking him to join, is telling him, we would love to have you as part of our family. And he left. They slowly backed away, and that was the end of the segment. So we're back to Hangman and the Dark Order again, which I am not a fan of. I feel like we've been down this road before. Doesn't excite me. But they've got to keep him occupied until Kenny Omega takes that title. I don't think they should revisit Omega and Hangman until probably Double or Nothing. I know some people might think, well, if Omega wins the championship, you could do the match at Revolution. I think that's far too soon. I think you're looking at Double or Nothing at the earliest, maybe All Out next year. If Kenny gets the belt, and if he can gut through the injury and doesn't make it worse, I see an extended run for him. I wouldn't even think about him and Hangman again until deep into 2021. So they've got to come up with stuff in the meantime for Hangman to do. And this might be one of those ideas. I'm just not exactly a big fan of the idea. So Omega's in the back with Alex Marvez. Got his suit on. He's got his sunglasses on. Says, look, Mox, I've got a gentleman's challenge for you. How about we just ditch the garbage wrestling? No garbage wrestling, no chairs and tables and tacks or any of that stuff. Next week, you and I, we just have one-on-one, a great professional wrestling match. One-on-one for the championship. Then he made a comment. He said, you were talking about your father, your dad, in your promo last week. He goes, I'm pretty sure my dad would kick your dad's ass. And he walked off. And the first thing I thought about, the Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect promo from King of the Ring in 93. My dad can beat your dad. I don't know if that's where they got that from, but that's the first thing I thought of. Will Hobbs. After joining Team Taz last week, Will Hobbs is now going by Powerhouse Hobbs. That is his new name. He comes out. He's got a snarl on his face. He came out almost looking like Taz when Taz first debuted many years ago in ECW. He was kind of giving off that the Taz vibes, the way he was dressed up here. He made short work of Lee Johnson. Poor Lee Johnson. Beat him with a falling power slam. So after the Hobbs win, Taz takes the mic, tells Will Hobbs, good job, job well done. You can go to the back. And Taz has the FTW title. He has Brian Cage's FTW title in his hand. He's complaining that, you know, he takes great offense to the fact that AEW doesn't seem to really show any respect for the FTW title. They don't recognize it. They don't have rankings for it. It's not recognized as an official championship. And this bothers him greatly. It bothers Taz greatly. And so he wants somebody in management to come out and answer for this. They cut his mic. They cut the guy's mic. Now he's pissed. Looks over at Justin Roberts. Give me your mic. Justin Roberts gives him the mic. They cut that mic off. Now he's pissed. All of a sudden, we see Cody. Cody Rhodes, who's wearing, what was he wearing? It looked like he was wearing a fur jacket. He comes out through the tunnel. He's got the headset on, right? Because Taz wants to talk to management. Well, Cody is management. Cody is an EVP. So Cody comes out. He's got the headset on. He takes it off. He's like, all right, what's up? What do you want? You wanted management? Here I am. I'm management. And he said, you know, next week it's going to be him and Darby Allin against Ricky Starks and Will Hobbs. And Taz says that's not good enough. So then Cody says, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. Said, I'll run your request up the flagpole. I'll run your request up the corporate flagpole. And Taz didn't like that either. And then he starts getting into what are you going to tell me next? You're going to tell me that creative has nothing for me? You're going to wish me well in my future endeavors? And I'm like, oh, here we go again. Here we go. So Cody comes back. Now Cody is all fired up. Cody is really angry now, and he looks at the FTW title, and he says, you know, I got a question for you. Why is it that your son, you're so great, right? You're such a great wrestler. Why is it that your son has been training with me? Now, this is the first I'm hearing of this. I was not aware of the fact that Taz's son was even training to get into the professional wrestling business, so that was news to me. But apparently that is legit. He goes, why is your son training with me? And that was a no-no for Taz. Taz now, he's off the mic, just talking to Cody. He goes, you crossed the line. He goes, that's too far. Now you crossed the line. And he goes to walk off, and Cody, you know, he's looking at the camera guy. He goes, all right, enough. We're done with this segment. And Taz comes up from behind Cody, and he locks him in the Taz mission. And he puts him down, and out comes the Nightmare family. Here comes Dustin. Here comes QT. And I thought Taz was fantastic here. I mean, forget the WWE cracks aside. I thought Taz was fantastic. I mean, Taz is always fantastic. Taz is still, to this day, one of the best talkers in all of wrestling. That is where he is a real... That, and also the times I watch Dark, he's very entertaining on commentary. So I think Taz is a big asset to that company, but no more so than when he's on camera, on the mic. He is still better than almost anybody else. I'm debating if it's him or Eddie Kingston. They both kind of have that gruff New York style. Something about New Yorkers. Those New Yorkers, they know how to talk. As I sit here in Brooklyn doing this street, those New Yorkers, they know how to speak. But I was surprised to see him get physical. I can't remember the last time I saw Taz actually get physical on TV. And I know this was nothing. I mean, he wasn't taking a bump. He was literally just grabbing a guy. So locking somebody in the Taz mission is hardly, you know, dangerous for him. But I know he's got the bad neck. I can't remember the last time I saw him get physical. So that was a surprise to see that. But you know what? The other thing I like about this, not that I think the FTW title, like they need the FTW title, but I will never complain about them having even just a character on TV carry on about wanting a championship to mean something. How many times do we talk about this? How many times Survivor Series this weekend did I talk about wanting Survivor Series to mean something again? You want everything to mean something. I can't find fault with Taz for saying, look, you know, this championship is important, and it's about time that this company puts a spotlight on it. I want this title to mean something. I like that. So I don't know where this is going as far as Taz and Cody and all that, but I liked it. I liked the segment. I thought Taz was very strong. Speaking of Eddie Kingston, he had his own little promo in the back up next. He was interrupted by John Moxley. Moxley was chewing gum. He never said a word. He just walked right over to Kingston. And Kingston looked back at him and he said, it wasn't me. I'm not the one who attacked you last week. You know who it was. It wasn't me. And Moxley walked away. That was the whole segment. Moxley walked away. Let me catch up with some of your super chats. As I say that in tribute to Tony Chimble, who lost his job after 37 years. I think 29 years full-time, but 37 years with WWE. Guy got thrown out on his ass a few weeks ago. Remember the rated R superstar? Let's talk about your super chats. Let's see here. Who we got? Who we got? Jacob Donnelly. What are the odds that Kenta attacked Moxley? Not very good. Ryan, although that would be clever, given the whole U.S. title thing. Ryan Spies, I really hope we get Abaddon randomly terrorizing and jump-scaring Sheeta every week until their eventual match. Nayef Al-Safar, good to hear from Nayef. Thank you, sir. Caught in my zipper. Wants to wish me a happy Thanksgiving. That sounds painful. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Raymond Medina with the $20. AEW was fun. Met Thunder Rosa. He met Thunder Rosa today in Puerto Rico. She is still not signed yet. Take care. Zala Monster. Yeah, well, she's not signed because she's signed with the NWA. So she can be on Dynamite because of the agreement, but she can't sign anywhere else unless they let her out of her contract. So she is still with the NWA for a while, actually. Rodimus Prime, again, thank you for that 50 spot, man. That was awesome. I hope you have a good one tomorrow as well. And my boy, Jared M. Wow. With the $65 drop. John Silver is hysterical, and he says, I'm having a Jack and Coke in honor of you. Well, that's good. I haven't had one in about 5 months. I'm kind of dying for one right now. Maybe as we get closer to the holidays, I'll pour one out. We had Top Flight against TH2. Jack Evans and Helico. And this is another one, another team that I was talking, why don't we see them? What's going on here? And I know it had a lot to do with the pandemic. I think they were down in Mexico, but I feel like even before that, they really were not being utilized on Dynamite, maybe on Dark, but not on Dynamite. And now we're starting to see them a little more often. They were able to shine a spotlight this week on a lot of people who I feel like have not been getting a lot of the spotlight. And that was one of the things that I liked about this show tonight. We had Top Flight against Evans and Angelico. This was Top Flight's second appearance, only their second match on Dynamite. They impressed last week with the Young Bucks, and they did it again here this week. And again, happy to see TH2 getting all this airtime as well. I mean, I saw the segment with Britt Baker on Dark last week, The Waiting Room. As much as I like Jack Evans and Angelico, and I have, you know, going back to, well, I mean, for Angelico, I've only been watching him since the Lucha Underground days. Jack Evans, I've been watching him since, I think, the first ever Ring of Honor show I ever went to. He was on that show. But the segment with Britt Baker last week on Dark, that was pretty bad. See, they seem like they would be ripe for a manager. I know Jack Evans does a lot of the talking, but I feel like that team, that's a team that would benefit from having a mouthpiece. I don't know who. I don't think you could just put Taz with them, but judging by that segment last week, they could probably benefit from that. So Evans was trying to go for a German suplex on the apron. I think it was Darius sent him to the floor. Darius hit a tope. Immediately followed by a dive from Dante out onto Evans and Angelico. Back inside, Dante hit a top rope splash for a near fall. Angelico with the assist to Jack Evans, where he grabs the foot. He flips Evans into the air, and Evans hits a standing 450. Only got a near fall out of it. Angelico set up for a razor's edge onto the turnbuckle. Dante turned it into a code red. And Jack Evans took out Darius on the floor, and Helico locked on his Navarro death roll submission, and Dante had no choice but to tap out. So two matches, two losses for Top Flight, but they look great in both matches, right? I mean, they're very young. They're 21 and 19. That's not their record. That's their ages. So they got a contract. They are officially signed now. They are all elite. They are officially under contract to AEW. They have many more years to grow and get experience and get better. So winning or losing right now is not really relevant for them. This is their first exposure on the national stage. And they're 2 for 2. As far as going out there and I think leaving an impression and impressing people, I think they've accomplished that. Now, after the match, TH2 was beating them down. Young Bucks ran out for the save, and TH2 took off. So it looks like they're setting up TH2 for a title match sometime in the next few weeks. We had Chris Jericho and Jake Hager against Chris Daniels and Frankie Kazarian of SCU. First time ever that Jericho and Daniels have been in the ring together. I believe either in a tag match or a singles match. And it's the two guys who have been around probably longer than anybody else on the active roster, right? Jericho just celebrated his 30th anniversary. They should have had him on Dynamite wrestling a Lance Storm hologram. So he just celebrated his 30-year anniversary. Daniels, in the business for 27 years. He debuted back in 1993. So these guys have been around for a while. They've seen some shit. Have Jericho and Daniels. The entire Inner Circle was at ringside. MJF, Sammy, Santana, Ortiz. By the way, I saw Sammy Guevara. He was the latest guest. Brandi Rhodes has a YouTube show called A Shot of Brandi, which is her in her kitchen with a different AEW personality each week. And they're drinking and they're cooking something. Only Sammy doesn't drink, so there was no alcohol. Sammy is like, he's like a child. I was getting nervous and stressed out watching this because everything he touched in this kitchen, he was destroying. The ice machine, he's picking stuff up, he's dropping stuff. He wants to use the knife, and Brandi says, no knife. Brandi says, I think in this case, I'm going to give you as little to do as possible, and I'll do all the work. He couldn't stand still. He couldn't stand still, and then he takes the knife. He takes this carving knife, or butcher knife, whatever, I think it was a carving knife. And he puts his hand down, right, like this on the table, and he's going like this in between his fingers. So, of course, he cuts himself. And I'm just like, this guy's like a fucking child. Brandi was like his mother, trying to control him. And he has, like, ADHD, and he can't control himself. I was all stressed out watching that episode, especially when he picked up the knife. So what is he going to do with that knife? But yes, the entire Inner Circle was out. Daniels nailed the best moonsault ever on Jake Hager, but Jericho broke up the pin. Referee was distracted. MJF reached in. Daniels was in the ropes, and he reached in and clobbered him with the Dynamite Diamond Ring. He went backwards, and he got clobbered by the Judas Effect, and Jericho got the pin on Daniels. Kazarian then punched MJF right in the mouth. Once the Inner Circle came in, he walked over and punched him right in the mouth. They ganged up on Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky ended up running out with a chair to make the save. Again, I thought just a very basic match, not very exciting, especially coming after that Top Flight match a little earlier in the night. Maybe they should have flip-flopped these two matches. Next Wednesday, they're going to have a Dynamite Diamond Ring Battle Royal. I don't believe MJF is in the Battle Royal. I mean, I could be wrong, but I believe it is to determine who will wrestle MJF with the ring on the line. He hasn't really defended the ring. He won it a year ago. And I thought maybe they were going to have it as something he defends on TV. At the time, they didn't have a TNT title. That, I thought, might be their secondary title in a way. So I think the winner of the Battle Royal will then wrestle MJF. I don't know when, maybe the following week. But I don't think MJF himself is in the Battle Royal. It's funny because I just answered a question on the Sound Off inbox that I did, where I answer those 90 questions. I think one of those 90 questions was from someone asking, hey, what's the deal with the Dynamite Diamond Ring? They get to defend it. They get to crown a new winner every year. And I was saying, you know, they've had a few tournaments recently, so you can't really do another tournament. And I feel like they have a lot of Battle Royals. So I don't know if they want to do another Battle Royal. So I don't know. I didn't get the sense they were going to have him defend it. And now we have a Battle Royal. They love their battle royals. What can I say? We had one at All Out. I feel like we had one since All Out. Maybe not. Maybe All Out was the last one. Peanut Butter Vader time. Peanut Butter Vader time. Super chat on my screen. Love seeing it. So anyway, that's coming up next Wednesday. Later on in the show, we had an Inner Circle promo in the back with Alex Marvez. MJF, not happy. Not happy with Kaz at all. As far as the shot to the mouth, called him Frankie the Coward Kazarian. Chris Jericho said next week, for the first time ever, it'll be Jericho one-on-one with Kazarian. Miro and Kip Sabian. This is just... I mean, this is ridiculous. I don't know who could defend this. Seriously. It's a mid-card feud. Fine. It's a mid-card feud. We've got Miro and Kip Sabian. They're in a trailer. They're going to debut some kind of new show. They have a new show. But before they can debut whatever it is that they're going to do, Orange Cassidy walks into the trailer. He turns down the speaker, and he just goes to leave. As they chase him out of the trailer, they get jumped by Trent and Chuck. And they're beating him up in the, wherever they are. They're in some kind of trailer park or something where all the trailers are. And they grab Kip Sabian and they powerbomb him into the side of a porta potty, which frankly is where this entire thing belongs. Miro grabs the cameraman who was in his way. He's like, get out of my way. Throws him down. We see the camera fall down. We hear a commotion in the background, and that was it. That was the whole segment. I mean, boy, you talk about, I can remember a time only a few months ago where everybody was like, man, the one guy that WWE let go that AEW should just grab and he can really be a player on the roster, it's Rusev, right? They got to get Rusev. Well, they've had Rusev. And I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, I guess it's something for him to do in the meantime before he eventually moves on to do whatever he's going to do. He's the best man. We're still waiting for the bachelor party. We're still waiting for the wedding. Who knows when they're going to do it? They're obviously going to do the wedding on TV. They think the wedding will pop a big number. In the meantime, he's a fucking goof. This guy is nothing but a fucking goof on this show. I'll just look forward to whenever this is over, because I don't care about any of this. I don't see how anybody could care about any of this shit. I don't see it. What am I missing here? Terrence with the happy Thanksgiving and to everyone in the chat. So he is wishing a happy holiday to everybody, except all the Canadians who we might have joining us live, because they already celebrated their Thanksgiving, I think, in October. They don't give a shit about the American Thanksgiving. They already had their Thanksgiving. Darius Smith, Ricky Starks and his cellmates promo gave me Lars Sullivan vibes. Maybe the shirts should have stayed on. And Chris Quillman with the 10 spot. Thank you, Chris. Very much appreciate it. Random Human in the chat says he wanted to see gameplay. I assume that means from Miro and Kip. Well, you know, I hear that the G4 network is coming back. I think Xavier Woods just got himself a hosting spot on G4. So maybe they can get their own show on G4. That would probably be the best place for him to go. So then it was time for the contract signing. There's a big world title match coming up on Dynamite next week. Winter is coming. Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega. So we were going to try this again. Last week, Omega signed the contract. Moxley never made it out for the contract signing because he got jumped. He got attacked by some mystery attacker in the back. We don't know who it is. We still don't know who it is. So they were going to try it again. And I thought this was awesome because Moxley, they show Omega about to make his entrance. He is behind a screen for one of the tunnels. So all you see is the Kenny Omega shadow as the women with the broomsticks are sweeping. And then behind Omega, you see another shadow, and clearly it's Moxley, and he attacks him. So we see the silhouette. And then ultimately he throws Omega through the the paper or whatever the fuck it is, the curtain, whatever. And he comes flying through the tunnel. I just thought that visual was awesome. The way they shot that and the way it looked, I thought it looked great. So he beats the hell out of Omega, throws him into the ring, gives him a paradigm shift onto the AEW title belt, and now Omega is down. Moxley looks over at Tony Schiavone, says, give me the mic. And he takes the microphone, and he proceeds to cut the following promo. He says, gentlemen's agreement. He goes, right. He says, I don't know who you hired to take me out last week, but they did a pretty piss-poor job, because here I am. I'm breathing. I'm walking. They didn't do a very good job. Next time you want to put a hit out on somebody, hit me up. I know some guys from Philly who do a good job. He says, consider us even. The only way that you become AEW World Champion is if you dig down deep in your guts and you find the Kenny Omega that everybody loves to talk about. Find him. Find that version of Kenny Omega. Because 1 week from tonight, the biggest match in Dynamite history, the two best wrestlers on the planet, tangle for the World Championship. He goes, God, I love this shit. He says, winter is coming for you, Kenny, because this is not a game. Because it is not dancing girls with brooms. When you come at the king, you best not miss. See, I know that's from The Wire. Even though I never watched The Wire, I know that's from The Wire. Which I still have to watch. It says, steady your hand, aim, and take your shot because you're only going to get one. Implying that there won't be a rematch. It's now or never. All the more reason now why I think there will be a title change next week. I mean, I've been saying it for weeks, but nothing in this segment led me to believe anything other than we're going to have a new champion next week. Especially if he's telling Omega this is his one shot. So then Moxley goes and he signs the contract. And Moxley, you know, we know that he's a very good promo. Especially when he's feeling it, right? He brought the heat. I thought with this promo this week. I mean, he's really been firing on all cylinders. The stuff with Eddie Kingston. Kingston, I think, really kind of got him to elevate his game even more. So we know that Moxley is a very good promo. Omega is going to have to step up his promo game. And I think as he gets into the heel character more cocky, I think he might do that. He's a totally different kind of promo, though. So I don't expect him to go out there and cut this intense, like harsh promo like an Eddie Kingston or a Taz or even a Moxley. But, you know, a lot of his promos leave a lot to be desired. I'm not saying he's not good, but he's no Jon Moxley. And I think Omega's going to have to, especially if he's going to be the champion, heading into these big pay-per-view matches and title defenses, he's going to have to up his promo game. Because Moxley, I thought, was on the ball here in this segment. But I pose this question to you, since we still don't know who attacked him. And that could play a role next week. It could play a role in costing Moxley the title. Who did lay him out? If it wasn't Kenny, if Kenny paid somebody off, then who was it? Could it be Hangman? I don't know how I feel about that, because that would imply that Hangman might go heel. Did Hangman attack Moxley on behalf of his friend? I don't know. I just throw that out there to you as an idea. It's the first name that came to mind for me when I was thinking, okay, well, who could it be? If it wasn't Omega, who could it be? Well, what about Hangman? Actually, Santiago is convinced that it's Kenta. Well, I mean, look, the only way that happens is if they've reached some kind of agreement that none of us are aware of. I just don't see that. It would make sense, because then it would set up a match for Moxley in New Japan, but what, you know... I don't see it. I don't see it. It's possible, but I don't see it. Jimmy White, who has a more heelish, pretentious entrance, Kenny Omega or Cody? Happy Thanksgiving, all that celebrate. Honestly, I think Cody is more pretentious. He comes out with this huge entourage, like he's some kind of fucking Hollywood movie star. I'm going to say Cody. Tenorio, I can't go for that. The best Hall & Oates song. Well, as a fan of Hall & Oates, I disagree. Out of Touch, Say It Isn't So, and Private Eyes. Those are probably my three favorites. Dry Chicken again. Taz choking Cody is exactly how I feel when the Grammys committee snubs The Weeknd's hit song Blinding Lights for a Grammy nomination. And Spencer, happy Thanksgiving. Very thankful to you and the podcast and the 5 years of amazing memories since I have been listening to the show. Thank you very much, Spencer. That's a very kind thing for you to say. 5 years of the Sound Off. I'm happy to have had you, and hopefully for another five yet to come. As we get ready to turn the page and we begin our 14th year, year 14, coming up in 2021. Hikaru Shida. We did have a championship match on this show. Hikaru Shida defending the AEW women's title against, I know she's a favorite of a lot of people in the chat right now, Anna Jay of the Dark Order. Now, Anna Jay and Shida had a match long time ago. The last time they met, and they had a video package here, Anna says that she was but a rookie. And at that point, she had only had about 7 professional matches before they met. But now, she is far more experienced. Yes. Now she's had a whopping 14 matches. She's still a rookie. What, are you kidding me? All of a sudden, she's a grizzled vet. She's still a fucking rookie. But yeah, she has a few more matches now than she had the first time they met. So Anna landed a kick late in the match that sent Shida from the second turnbuckle back into the ring. And she looked outside. Now, the Dark Order is standing on the stage. Outside the ring, though, in Anna Jay's corner is her BFF, Tay Conti. And she looks over at Tay Conti and she wants her to give her a chair. And they're kind of struggling. They're fighting over it. She doesn't want to do it. She's like, well, what are you doing? Anna, come on. You could do this fair and square. She doesn't want her friend to use a chair. Plus, she'll probably get DQ'd, right? So she's just looking out for her friend. So she ends up not using the chair. But with the referee now distracted, she grabs a kendo stick that John Silver tosses into her. And she smacks Shida in the knee, smacks her in the leg with the kendo stick, dumps the kendo stick outside, goes for the pin, gets a near fall. So that was a close near fall. She put the Queen Slayer, her sleeper hold, on Shida. Shida escaped. And Anna reversed the Falcon Arrow into a near fall. Shida recovered, hit the elbow strike and a running knee for the win. So Shida retains the championship. The right outcome. I mean, Anna Jay, she may get better with time. And I actually didn't think this was a bad match. I thought this was a pretty decent match. I don't remember much about their first match, but I'm sure this one was better because she has had more matches now. She is a little bit more experienced, but she should not be beating Hikaru Shida. So Shida retains, and then Shida is backing down the aisle. She's celebrating. She's holding up her title. All of a sudden, this weird music plays, and out from one of the tunnels crawls Abaddon. And Shida is totally spooked. She drops her belt and is backpedaling away. Abaddon grabs the championship. She starts licking the title, which is not a smart thing to be doing in the middle of a pandemic. I'm just saying, that's fucking disgusting. But she starts licking the championship. And the look on Sheeta's face would make William Regal proud. As far as her facial expressions here, she looked absolutely mortified. Just horrified. Just in general, by this woman. I was happy to see Abaddon because, again, that means that she obviously wasn't hurt very seriously all those weeks ago. And now they're setting up for a championship match soon between Abaddon and Shida. Sweet. Sweet. I'm happy to see that. I'm happy to see her back on Dynamite. And I thought Shida actually played this off perfectly. We had a Matt Hardy promo in the back. He's now calling himself The Iconic. Not to be confused with the two women who were broken up on WWE television, who they have nothing for them now. I don't know why they broke them up. But we have the Iconic Matt Hardy. Calls himself the most innovative trailblazer in wrestling. This was giving me Big Money Matt vibes from Impact Wrestling. The only thing missing was the money in his hand. Said 2020 has been a difficult year, but if I can survive, given everything that I've been through with Sammy and everything, and you know the big cinematic match they did at the pay-per-view, he goes, then anybody can overcome whatever obstacles there may be in their lives. Actually, he referred to them as pedestrian problems. Very heelish. Talking down to the people. Told everybody to survive, thrive, and win. So I get the impression that he's going down the heel road. And it's probably good to leave the Hardy compound, the broken mat, woken mat, token mat, stroking mat, whatever. Leave all that shit in the past. Try something new. This feels like a heel gimmick to me. We'll see where it goes. He's going to be in the Battle Royal next week, so maybe he'll win. Maybe he'll win and he'll go on to wrestle MJF. Probably not. But he will be in the Battle Royal next week. We got a great Ricky Starks promo. I'm a big Ricky Starks fan. I've been singing his praises for even before he came into AEW. Taz had left after what happened earlier in the night. So this was shot, it looked like, in the lobby of a casino. I don't know where the fuck these guys were. They were in the lobby of a casino somewhere. And it's Starks. And behind him, he is flanked by Brian Cage and Will Hobbs. Two men who are a lot bigger than he is. But he did all the talking. Cage did a little bit of talking. Hobbs just stood there and he looked mean. He mean mugged the camera. This reminded me of like an old WWE style promo where you got guys in the back just looking into the camera. And here Starks did all the talking, which he's great at. And he was going off on Cody and, you know, just hyping the match next week. It's going to be him and Hobbs against Cody and Darby. I thought he was great here. I thought he was great. Colin says he reminds me of a young Ric Flair. I mean, there's so many comparisons, you know, that have been made. The biggest one being The Rock. I mean, there's a certain vibe to his promos, especially in the NWA. When he was on NWA Power every week, some people called him like Mini Rock. I don't think he's going out there trying to be The Rock, but there's definitely vibes of like early Rock, a little bit of Flair. I mean, not bad people to kind of borrow from, but again, I don't think he's trying to be them. I just think, you know, his style reminds people of those guys. And that's not a bad thing. I think his talking is one of his strong suits, and it's going to help him because he's not a big guy. Physically, he is not a big guy. And if you're not a big guy, you're already handicapped. Now, that's less of an issue in AEW because they have a lot of smaller guys. But you need to be able to talk, and you need to be able to kind of stand out in other ways if you are not the biggest guy in the room. And you notice it even more because he's part of a faction with Brian Cage and Will Hobbs. These men are, you know, in their own way, they're gigantic. So he's got to stand out in other ways, and that's how. You know, his promos are very strong, but he's one of those guys I have earmarked for big, big things in the future. Big things. We had Pac and Rey Fénix in the main event against The Butcher and The Blade. The Butcher and The Blade, not only were they main eventing, they got pyro. They got pyro for their entrance. Is this new? I don't think I've ever seen The Butcher and The Blade have pyro before. Either that or I obviously missed it. And I'm thinking that should have been a dead giveaway about who was winning this match. They got fucking pyro. There was a crazy spot early in this match where Pac hit a moonsault to the floor at the exact same time that Rey Fénix hit this giant dive out over the top rope, wiped out The Butcher and The Blade. Late in the match, Pac got a hot tag. He was in there with The Blade, hit a Northern Lights suplex. Blade kicks out. Shooting star press attempt by Pac. Blade moves. Pac rolls through. Blade catches Pac coming in running with a great snap power slam. Butcher tags in. He turns Pac inside out with a lariat. Almost gets the three, but not quite. Blade gets back in, hits a doctor bomb, has Pac beat. Fénix breaks it up with a drop kick to the back of the head. Fénix tags in, heads up top. Eddie Kingston was on commentary. And Eddie Kingston was going on and on about Eddie Gilbert, hot stuff Eddie Gilbert. He was my guy when I was growing up. Nothing wrong with putting over Eddie Gilbert, but when he saw what was going on here, he threw the headset down. He came running down to the ring, and he tripped up Fénix. Fénix was on the top rope. He tripped him up, and that allowed Butcher and Blade to use a powerbomb neckbreaker combo on Fénix for the win. Basically what it was, if you remember back in the day, when the Dudley boys would hit the same move, and Jim Ross would call it a reverse 3D, which, I mean, I guess in a way it kind of was, but I always thought, what a stupid way to describe it. That's what this was. They had him up, and I think it was the Blade brought him down with the neck breaker, and they got the win. So they main evented, they got Pyro, and they won. The Butcher and the motherfucking Blade. They get the job done here this week on Dynamite. Finally. How many times have we seen these guys come out and lose? And I get super chats from people. Why do they always lose? Especially the Butcher. He looks, you know, he should be winning matches. So this was huge for these guys. To headline and to win. It's the biggest win of their lives. I was happy to see them win. I was surprised at that result, and I was happy to see them win. Now, after the match, the Bunny hands a chair to the heels, and they have the chair in the ring, and Eddie Kingston gives Pac a DDT onto the chair. Gives him a second one. Blade is holding back Penta in the corner. Phoenix is still down. Kingston is now preparing for a third DDT on the belt. He's going to give him a third DDT onto the championship belt. When all of a sudden, someone's music hits. And I will say, because we rarely get to see him on TV, I didn't know at first who the hell it was. I didn't recognize the music. But out comes Lance Archer, with Jake Roberts right behind him. And Lance Archer, he comes in hot. He comes in soaring over the top rope with a crossbody, takes out the Blade, hits another one coming off the ropes, takes out Eddie Kingston and the Butcher, takes them both down. Archer, they said, has wanted his hands on Kingston ever since the Dynamite anniversary show. Really, this goes back to the Battle Royal at All Out, which Archer won, but Eddie Kingston said, I was never eliminated, and he never let him forget it. So there has kind of been an issue there now for a while. And I don't know if this means, I'm not saying this means he's a babyface now, but finally, they have a role on the show for Lance Archer, and it's a big spot. He debuts in the main event, or after the main event, coming out in the final segment of the show, wiping everybody out. It's about time. It's about fucking time they found something for this guy to do on the show. So that, again, is one of the things I liked about this show. Certain people got highlighted that we really haven't been seeing much of. And certain people like Butcher and Blade, they pick up a big win, which we really never get to see. And I also thought it was a pretty damn good main event on top of that. Better than the Jericho, you know, Hager match with the SCU. So I thought that was a pretty hot ending to the show. What I thought overall was a very good show. And next week is the big Winter is Coming episode. They're almost building this up like a pay-per-view version of Dynamite. Obviously, we have the big title match, Moxley and Omega for the AEW World title. I think we're going to have a new champion. Cody and Darby against Ricky Starks and Will Hobbs, or Powerhouse Hobbs. Jericho against Kazarian. We got the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal. Somebody in the chat said that there is going to be a match, that whoever wins the Battle Royal, I guess, will then wrestle MJF. So that might be happening next week. And we have Britt Baker one-on-one with legit Layla Hirsch. We've seen her once so far on Dynamite. I know she's been on Dark. She looked pretty impressive. She's got the whole amateur wrestling background. So we're going to see her and Britt Baker next week, and that's the card. We'll see if they add another match or two as the week progresses, as the week goes on. As the beat goes on. As the beat goes on. Isn't that Macho Man promo? Right? One of his many promos that you can find on YouTube, and the beat goes on. Uh-huh. AEW Instapoll, 83%. Thumbs up. 16% thumbs down. So an overwhelmingly positive response. NXT, how does NXT compare? About 70% thumbs up, 30% thumbs down. So it sounds like two pretty good shows this week. I will be checking out the NXT show at some point. Well, either tomorrow or Friday. I don't know if I'm going to watch it on Thanksgiving, but at some point in there, I will be checking it out. Let's see what you guys have been saying. catch up on some of your super chats here. I do read every single one you send in. You guys know that. We mentioned Spencer. We got Quintus. Quintus Brown. Since Matt Hardy's heel turn is coming, he can break away from managing Private Party and manage TH2. Well, that's funny. Well, there you go. Maybe. If he's going heel. It looked like it, but we don't know yet. It's only one promo. We have to wait and see where it goes. Him and TH2? Maybe. I could see that. Domination Warrior, what was your favorite Survivor Series theme song? The original. The instrumental. The one that I wish they would release on one of these uncaged, Jim Johnston uncaged releases they keep putting out on Spotify and Apple Music. They just put a new one out, by the way, if you are into that. I think it's Uncaged 14. Over 50 new tracks, most of which are just, I don't want to say useless, but basically useless. I'm still waiting on stuff like, I mean, maybe they don't have the right, they have to have the rights to it, though, because it's on the network. They haven't dubbed it out. You know, the instrumental theme that they use for, like, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series. That's what I want. I want clear and complete versions of those songs. That was my favorite. Jackalope Music, is it me or does AEW have frequent talent injuries? I've seen so many scary spots and dives, I'm afraid they'll one day have a Dark Side of the Ring episode on the work environment. Well, look, that's what happens when you have guys who are jumping around doing all kinds of dives out over the top rope. The stupid shit that Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara were doing in some of their matches this summer. People are going to get hurt. You can't wrestle the style that these guys wrestle and not get hurt. That's why Phoenix has been hurt a couple of times, right? He's been taken out of a few matches. Because Phoenix is an absolute madman. He always has been. But that's his style. You're not going to get him to change. But the problem is, after a while, the injuries start to pile up. You just got to be careful. I mean, there's nothing else you can do. If that's your style, it's a dangerous style to wrestle. Brandon Mobley, happy early COVID Thanksgiving. Thank you. I hope your brother is a great cook and y'all have a great day together. Thank you, as always, for the content. Well, we're going to find out tomorrow. I don't believe that he has ever done a turkey before. So we're going to find out tomorrow exactly how good he is. I'm leaving that to him. The only thing I'm doing is I went out and I bought a pecan pie. Oh, be still my heart. I will take that and put that in the microwave, and that will be my contribution. I will let you know how it is. Rob Reed, no offense, but you are wrong. Sarah Smile is the correct answer. You know, I've never been a fan of Sarah Smile. Everyone says that's the best Hall & Oates song. I've never been impressed by Sarah Smile. If it comes on, like, in Spotify or Pandora, I move on to the next song. I don't hate it, I don't care to listen to it. I don't know. I just never got. And actually, I take back what I said before. Out of Touch is their best song. But it's Say It Isn't So and Family Man. Those are my three favorites. Those are the three best Hall & Oates songs. But if you like Sarah Smile, then hey. I like Boombox Brock, who is on my screen right now. You know what Boombox Brock was listening to? It wasn't Sarah Smile. I'll tell you that. He's not listening to that. I'm sorry, Rob. Dry Chicken, I hope you get a Sheeta reaction super chat. I will, you know, it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. Oz and Gloria, shout out to Anna, Tay, and the Bunny for bringing the glow to Dynamite. And he says, I love the Butcher and the Blade. Give them a push over Top Flight or TH2 any damn day. Can't wait to see Lance Archer properly wreck dumpy Eddie Kingston and his terrible wrestling. Boy, this is like the never-ending super chat here. Everyone needs to dive into the Young Bucks book. Super enjoyable. Thankful for the review and the chat. Yeah, I've heard good things about the book. They do have a new book out. I believe they wrote it all themselves. I've heard good things. Juan Ocampo, feeling better now, waiting on my test results. Yes, please keep me posted. I remember you mentioning that. Hopefully it all works out well. I'm glad you're feeling better. And Oz and Glorious again. Scott Hall and Kevin Nash are better than Hall and Oates. Well, I'm willing to bet that Hall and Oates, over the length of their careers, probably made more money and did more blow than Hall and Nash did. I'll go with Hall and Oates. And Deron Barry, thank you for the $5, man. That is very cool. Glad to see you back in the chat here tonight. Uffman says that he tested negative for COVID. That's great. I didn't know you were having a test. That's great news. Robert Shelton says, I have not heard that one. I will check it out. Thank you. I'm telling you, I'll give you guys music suggestions. It's gonna be a lot of 80s music, but if you want music suggestions, I'm not averse to giving you music suggestions. Rob Reed again. Boombox Brock was listening to You Make My Dreams Come True. It's another good one. Rich Girl, also another good one. Zantara, what is wrong with every... Oh, my God. You know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. He says, what is wrong with everyone? Adult education is the best Hall and Oates saw. You know what? I have been shamed. I have been shamed. How could I forget? That is one of my favorites. God, you know, if I have to put a top three together now, boy, you're really putting me on the spot here. I still think Out of Touch is my number one. And it is so applicable, by the way, to some of the wrestling these days. That would be number one. Boy, you know, Adult Education might be number two. It's up there. That, Say It Isn't So, Family Man. You can see why I'm such a fan. Best fucking music in the world. Brian Becerra, happy Thanksgiving, Solid Monster. Let me tell everybody something about Bryant Becerra. First of all, Bryant has been a loyal fan of the show and a supporter for a long time. Bryant was one of the winners in the Wrestle Rumble contest the other night, Survivor Series Sunday. We had the When Worlds Collide giveaway. Bryant has been trying for months. He's in every contest, and he bought a whole bunch of entries. He came in fourth place, but the fourth place winner won the NWA 10 pounds of gold replica, the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship, which I actually thought, I mean, the AEW title was number one in the first place winner, but I'd love to have an NWA replica. So he came in fourth, and I couldn't be happier. He's a great dude. I feel happy for him. And Brian, let me know when you get the belt. Take a picture. Post it on Twitter, Facebook, if you're in the group. And let me know what you think. But I was very happy to see him be one of the winners in the contest. There's another one coming up, by the way, in a few weeks. We have NXT TakeOver War Games on December 6th. And I'm going to be hosting a mini belt giveaway. One winner. I think it's something like 20 mini belts that we're giving away. Something crazy like that. WWE Shop has these miniature titles. I have one, actually. I got one as a... I'll show it to you in a second. But yeah, we're giving away 20 of them to one winner. You could probably enter right now, WrestleRumble.com. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. Oz and Gloria says, no love for Italian girls. Well, I love Italian girls. Of course I do. Absolutely. Buongiorno. Buongiorno. Dry Chicken. Boombox Brock was listening to Beat It by Michael Jackson. And Uffman says, happy Thanksgiving, boss. I'll get you the Sheeta Super Chat screenshot via Twitter. Yes, please do. Please do, and we'll add that as a random Super Chat. I'm always adding random ones. So you never know what might pop up on your screen. Let me get that mini belt and just show you. Hang on.
Hang tight.
It's pretty cool, actually. But this is what it is right here. I got this as a gift, and I just thought, like, I don't know, it's just like the coolest thing, because I'm like a belt mark. But this is the Intercontinental, and you know, it's got the snaps, not like that Velcro bullshit they have on TV now. And so you can snap it, you know, so it'll be like this. But you know, it's like a great, like, desk piece. You want to put it on your desk or something. I had it at work, you know, before I left the office, and I haven't been back to the office in 9 months. when I was leaving the office on my last day, I said, I got to take this with me. So yeah, it's cool. But they sell these on the, I think, WWE shop for like $50 or something. I don't know that I would pay. I don't know if I would pay for it. We're going to give 20 of those away. I don't think that one is in the mix, but it's going to be fun. Daron Berry, where is that belt? Well, I just showed it to you. And Khaled Adam, happy Turkey Day. Thoughts on Tay Conti in AEW? I think it was a great pickup. I think it was a great signing for the company. I think WWE really dropped the ball with her. She was trying to be proactive and come up with ideas, and they just weren't doing anything with her, and she got incredibly frustrated. And then she was part of that whole wave of cuts. And I just thought to myself, how do you not see something in her? She showed a lot of improvement from the first time I saw her in NXT to her later matches. She's trying to put the effort in. She's trying to come up with ideas. She came up with this one idea where on some of the local Florida house shows, she was wearing, I forgot what the shirt said, but some kind of shirt, like she was losing her mind, doing some kind of gimmick. And they said, you can't do that. You need to stop. And she was like, well, I'm just trying to come up with something to do. Well, you can't do that. So I think the best thing that could have happened to her, frankly, is for her to get the hell out of there. So for AEW, I think you've got a solid worker in her who's got a great look. She's got, I think, a background in, it might be jiu-jitsu. And I think she's only going to get better with time. That's a big miss for WWE. Brian says it is supposed to come on Friday. Definitely will. Yes. You will be happy. You will be happy. Definitely share some photos once you do. Frost, that's right. Frost in the chat says she was wearing a shirt that said released. But she was trying to just come up with some kind of character for herself. So you can't fault her for that. I'm sure there's a lot of people down there who aren't being used who are very frustrated. And if they don't want to rock the boat, then they'll just, you know, they'll just show up to work and they'll just wait. They'll wait for their opportunity. She got tired of waiting. She was trying to take matters into her own hands. And look what happened. Look how she was rewarded. That's what happens when you try to think for yourself. You try to grab the brass ring, right, and take matters into your own hands. Look what happens. So every time I hear that brass ring nonsense, I want to fucking gag and vomit. Because you just hear stories from so many people who say, for years, I tried. I was trying to reach for the so-called brass ring. Everybody gets the same speech, right, from Vince McMahon. I got to tell you, I'm sure many of you watched the Survivor Series, right? And the Undertaker farewell. Vince McMahon looked awful. I understand he's 75 years old. He looked fucking terrible. But it really hit me when I saw him standing there in the ring. And he just looking the way he looked. It was sad because I remember when Vince McMahon would come out on TV and he was this great on-air character. And now he just, you know, the way he looks, the way he sounds terrible. It's just, it's awful. But I'm looking at this guy and he looks, you know, ancient. And he looks his age. And I thought to myself, I said, you know, this guy is the one who is ripping up all of the scripts every week. We keep hearing these stories that the writers present him with a script for the show and he'll tear it up and he'll put one together himself. And the producers and the talent and the writers, sometimes up until an hour or two before the show goes live on TV, they don't know what's going on until Vince walks in and gives everybody a copy of the script that he went and redid on his own. Now, first of all, if you're a writer, how does that make you feel? Why would you want that job? Why would you want your work to be ripped up and blown up every single week? That's number one. Number two, and the bigger point that I'm trying to make here, look at the guy that we saw on TV on Sunday night. As old and decrepit as he looked. And you wonder why WWE has a lot of the problems creatively that it's had, right? I mean, they've got some good storylines, but there's been a lot more shit than quality stuff in recent years. That is the person. That is the person. That is the man who is responsible for the creative vision of that company. When you see him like that, as old as he is, that's where it really hits home. That is the person who is responsible for the out-of-the-box thinking and the creative product that you currently see on TV. And you wonder why so many people complain about how hard it is to sit through some of those shows. Because the entire creative vision is built around somebody who is 75 fucking years old. It's no wonder. No one is discounting all of the success that he had all those many years ago. But at some point, like The Undertaker, had to call it quits because he can't do it anymore. He said as much in the interview with Austin. He goes, I had to come to a point where I realized I can't do it anymore. He goes, if my body would allow me to, I would do it forever. This is what he told Steve Austin. He goes, I don't want to step away, but I physically can't do it anymore. And he's finally coming to grips and coming to terms with that. Now, whether you believe he's actually done or not, that's a whole other issue. But it's no different with somebody like Vince McMahon. For all the success that he had, and as great as his instincts were, and even now, I'm not saying that, you know, he's doesn't have anything to contribute, no good ideas at all, or that he doesn't have some good instincts. But at some point, you age out of the process. You just get to a point where you're too fucking old to be the sole person writing stories and writing dialogue for a bunch of people on your roster who were in their 20s and 30s. You have guys and women in their 20s and 30s who have their dialogue written by a man who is 75 years old. You don't see a problem there? So it really should come as no surprise that WWE has a lot of the issues that it has. But looking at him in the ring on Sunday night really drove that point home. Green in the chat, you have it right, man. Age is undefeated. Mother Nature, Father Time, you can try to outrun it, but you can't beat it. I know Vince still works out. He still hits the gym. He works out like a maniac, but at some point, you get to that level where it's time to just back away. Hand the baton off to somebody else. Somebody younger, somebody fresher, somebody with other ideas. Guy looks like he hasn't slept in 5 years. Dry Chicken says, I am sorry to say it, but Vince is unfit to lead WWE. Creatively? Yeah, I agree. But it is hard to argue that they're still making more money now than they've ever made before. I think there's a business role for him behind the scenes. I'm talking about creatively. I'm not saying that he should be put him on the funny farm in a rocking chair. Although maybe he does belong there. I don't know. I'm talking about creatively. It is amazing to me how active he is still in that product. He's still sitting there with a headset right there. He's the last person anybody sees before they go out through that curtain. That's how actively involved he is. And I think it's respectable. He's probably got more energy at 75 than I'll have at 55. But at what point do you just recognize, you know what? Maybe I'm better off doing other things back here. And let's bring some fresh blood in here. Whether that's Triple H or whether that is somebody completely different. But I keep saying, you know, nothing will ever change unless there's change from the very top. And I still stand by that statement. I still believe that. You will never have real change until there is change from the top. I think the analogy I used once is, you have television shows. I still watch The Walking Dead. Maybe I'm one of the only ones left. I still watch The Walking Dead. You know how many showrunners The Walking Dead has gone through? A few. The showrunner for a television show, each one brings a different vision to the show. Each one leads the show in a completely different direction. It is time, long past time, for a new showrunner on Monday Night Raw. I don't think that could be disputed. business wise, he can handle that end just fine if he wants to handle the business end of it. But creatively, my God, come on. Think about somebody like the Street Profits having their shit written by Vince McMahon. It's comical. It's absolutely comical. With AEW, you've got Tony Khan, right? There's a lot that you can say about Tony Khan. Some people don't like Tony Khan. Some people think he's a mark, he's a geek, he's this, he's that. But you know what the thing about Tony Khan is? Tony Khan is a young guy. He's a lot younger than Vince McMahon. And he is more in tune with the fans because he is a fan. I mean, the guy used to go to shows and send reports into the fucking Wrestling Observer. it doesn't get more kind of inside fan than that. But he is a younger guy. And I think you just get a different perspective on things when you are closer in age, I think, to the people who you are aiming for audience-wise. We talk about demos. What's the demo you always hear about? 18 to 49, 18 to 34. Vince McMahon has not been 18, nor has he been 49 in a very long time. There's a disconnect there. I think that's an advantage that AEW has. Amari Johnson. John Silver may actually be the real new Daniel Bryan, at least between the ropes. Hope you enjoy your holiday. Pedro Velasquez, hey Salamasser, I've been watching you for 2 months now. I've been enjoying your podcast. Do you have a favorite wrestling promotion nowadays? No, I enjoy wrestling. I was enjoying NWA Power until NWA Power was no more. Now they have this new show called Shockwave that's about to debut. I don't know if that is going to be first run matches, if it's going to be compilations of old matches. I'm not sure. So I was digging what the NWA was doing. WWE is just very hit or miss. WWE will always be kind of the number one promotion that I cover. I mean, I've been watching WWE since I was 4 years old, 5 years old, right? Sitting in front of the TV. You take the good with the bad. You hope. You watch out of habit and hope. That's what I've always said. You watch out of habit, you hope it's going to get better. There are weeks where SmackDown's a great show and Raw is absolute garbage. And then there are weeks where SmackDown is not so good and Raw is still garbage. It goes up, it goes down. AEW, they put out a very good product. I enjoy it. I can't say that I have a favorite promotion, though. I like what I like. Some weeks I like it, some weeks I don't. Then I come on here and I get to talk about it, and you guys share your feedback with me, and we get to commiserate together. That's the way it's always been. Quintus, I got Sammy winning the Battle Royal next week, beginning of Sammy getting kicked out of the Inner Circle and turning babyface. Well, if Sammy, was he in the graphic? I think he was. That's a good point. That would be one way to get him a match with MJF, right? Wins the Battle Royal. He gets the shot at the Diamond Ring. So that's a good point. Amari Johnson meant to ask, what if they put the WrestleMania main event on the line during Survivor Series? Kind of like how MLB does the World Series home field advantage. I don't like that idea because it completely negates the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble exists for that very reason. If you win the Royal Rumble, you are supposed to go to the WrestleMania main event. So I don't like that idea, but I like the idea of having something at stake. It could have something to do with the draft. It could have something to do with the Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble then has to do with WrestleMania. They all should connect. They all should connect like a human centipede. One after the other. All right, thank you for joining me and hanging out with me here on Thanksgiving Eve. I do hope that all of you are going to have a wonderful holiday if you are stateside here. Of course, if you are in another country, you probably don't give a crap, but tomorrow is just another day for all of you. But I know a lot of people tomorrow, they're off from work. Maybe they're hanging out with family, maybe they're not, and eating a lot of food. So I am very much looking forward to it. And actually, one of my plans for tomorrow, besides working on stuff for the show on Sunday, I'm always working on something. I'm going to be playing on the TV. I'm just going to put on old Survivor Series pay-per-views, starting with the very first one, and just let it run. So while, you know, we're cooking everything and I'm doing other stuff, we'll have all the old Survivor Series shows just running one right after the other. Just to kind of bring me back to those days when Thanksgiving used to be the day that Survivor Series would be. First it would air on Thanksgiving, then it became the Thanksgiving Eve tradition. I miss that. So we're gonna go old school and do that tomorrow. Anyway, thank you again for all the support. I hope you will join me live again for more Dynamite. Big Dynamite next week. Big Dynamite December 2nd. Come right back here. First Dynamite of the month of December. And I got a lot of fun stuff planned for the month of December. RSPW. We're going to be doing more Sound Off Inbox. I'm thinking maybe a New Year's Eve stream, right? We got a lot of fun stuff. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up in December. And I hope you guys will join me in kicking 2020 to the curb and ringing in the new year. So be well, stay safe, have yourselves a fantastic holiday, and join me for episode 680 of the Sound Off coming up this Sunday. Until then, gobble gobble.